Thanks, Corey, for leading us. Good morning. Merry Christmas. So good to see guests and extended family who are here. And I know Alvin already talked about this, but this afternoon at 5 p.m. is one of my favorite services where we all hold a candle and we sing Silent Night together, and it's a beautiful atmosphere. I hope you're able to join us. Well, speaking of good King Wenceslas, that's a mouthful to say, who saw the snow deep and crisp and even. How many are excited that we might have a white Christmas? Yeah. Mostly people on this side of the room for some reason. What's wrong with you people? Well, apparently later today we might get some of that, so that'll add to the atmosphere of Christmas Eve. Well, it was a service in December just like this one. The singing had finished, the sermon was over, and people were mulling about and talking, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw this young man. He was maybe 9 or 10 years old. He was standing by himself. He looked very well-dressed. I didn't think much more than that and started chatting with a few other people, and about 20 minutes later, I saw this young man in another part of the building. Again, he was alone. He was looking a little bit more nervous now, and I went up to him and introduced myself. And I said, "Oh, you're waiting for your parents?" He was maybe 9 or 10. He said, "No, I can't find my parents." And so calmly, we walked through the building. We went upstairs. We went downstairs. We checked the bathrooms. We went outside. We could not find his parents anywhere. So I phoned them, and they were at home. They hadn't realized that they had left their son at church. This is kind of what he looked like. You ever forgotten a child somewhere? You ever been forgotten somewhere? Well, the story that they told was completely understandable. About 10 minutes later, the dad drove back. He was red-faced, embarrassed. He was apologetic. He explained that they had extended family visiting, aunts and uncles, nephews and nieces, and they had come in two cars to church. And after church, they wanted to get home quickly to prepare lunch for their guests, so they all stuffed into the two cars. Mom thought that son was with dad and vice versa, and they left and went home. And no one realized they had forgotten their son. Well, this is the time of year when we have a lot on our minds, isn't it? There's a lot of things that we're taking care of. There's a lot of activity. There's a lot of planning. And we find ourselves, again, in this Advent season with the prayer, "Lord, help us not to forget. Help us not to overlook the child. The child at the very center of this season. Help us not to forget in our busyness and our activity the heart of Christmas, the babe in Bethlehem." Now it's Christmas Eve, and I would bet that most of you here today have a lot of things on your mind. You're hoping not to overlook certain things. You're asking yourself, "Did I take the turkey out of the freezer? Is it thawing? What are the ingredients that I need to get for that dish I'm supposed to make tomorrow?" How many people are distracted with things on your mind? Okay, nobody's helping me out here. Just go along with it. Okay, thank you, both of you, for answering. Did I wrap that present? Did I get enough for so-and-so? And so today, very simply, we're going to actually pray first and acknowledge the things on our hearts and minds. And then we're going to return to that very wonderful and simple story so that we don't overlook the person right at the center. So let's take a moment to pray, shall we? So Lord, this morning we take a deep breath. Everyone just take a deep breath. We acknowledge that there is a lot on our hearts and minds. We acknowledge that We don't want to overlook things. And yet today, for a few moments this morning, we come and we invite you to clear our hearts and minds for a few moments. Help us to hear, to listen to that other voice, the quiet, the gentle voice, the voice of God. The story which is so profound and yet so simple. The story of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem, of God Emmanuel coming to be with us. Help us to hear that story afresh. Help us to truly celebrate this day what you have done in Christ. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. This is God's word. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. As I was reading this passage again this week, this very familiar passage, I recognize that there are two voices that we hear. One is from Caesar Augustus. It may also be the voice that tells us that Quirinius is governor of Syria. These are the big, bold, impressive voices. Caesar is an important person, and he is doing something. He is conducting a census, which is so that he can tax people more effectively. One of the voices of Christmas is the big, loud voice. It is a voice of hype, a voice that calls to us, a voice that grabs our attention. And then there is another voice. It is something that most people overlook. It is a voice that tells us that God is doing something. And he's not doing it in the centers of power like Rome or even Jerusalem. He's doing it in a quiet, sleepy, overlooked town called Bethlehem. At Christmas, there is a lot of noise and activity. And as we've been thinking about this through our Advent conspiracy, we have recognized that we are invited to pay attention by our culture, by our anxiety to that voice. But this morning, we are invited to look past the hype, look past the headlines, and to see how God is quietly working in the shadows, in the overlooked, out-of-the-way places. Do you know that Bethlehem is probably a village of 400 at this time? Nothing important happens in Bethlehem, nothing. It is forgotten. It is invisible. And yet, it is in Bethlehem that God chooses to visit and to change the world. Brian Zond, a pastor, writes about this contrast of these two voices when he says, "We have been seduced by an idolatry that deceives us into thinking that God is mostly found in the big and loud, when in fact, God is almost never found in the big and loud. The ways of God are predominantly small and quiet. The ways of God are about as loud as seed falling on the ground or bread rising in an oven. The ways of God are almost never found in the shouts of the crowd, The ways of God are more often found in trickling tears and whispered prayers. We want God to do a big thing while God is planning to do a small thing. We are impressed by the big and loud. God is not. We are in a hurry. God is not. We want God to act fast, but God's speed is almost always slow. This morning, we recognize the voices of Caesar, of Quirinius, the voices of Herod, which we would find in another passage of Scripture, and yet we choose to listen to this quieter, still small voice that even though Bethlehem is overlooked, this morning we don't overlook it. We quiet our hearts and we see what God is doing in Bethlehem. You know, in Bethlehem, there's another story. It's a story of a little boy named David. David was also overlooked, an overlooked kid in an overlooked town. He was small. He was not even invited to a party to anoint the king. He was out babysitting sheep. And famously, the scripture that comes to mind when God chose this overlooked boy was, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Speaking of shepherds, this morning, for just another moment, we've looked at just briefly at Bethlehem as this overlooked town, this overlooked place, but there are some overlooked people in the story of Christmas. Listen to verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." The Christmas story tells us about an overlooked place, and it tells us about some overlooked people, the shepherds. It's hard to imagine a group of people more invisible in the first century than shepherds. Shepherds could not be trusted with anything more than a bunch of stinky sheep. And so that's what they did. That was their job, a job that few others wanted to do. And isn't it amazing that the Christmas story tells us that when God arrives, he appears and welcomes to his birthday party not the CEOs of the world, not the financiers, not the politicians, not the VIPs, but a group of overlooked people. Maybe one of the lines of Christmas, one of the themes of Christmas, one of the sub-lines that we need to grasp is that at Christmas, God sees the overlooked. That God sees us. Have you ever felt overlooked? Over the next few days, today, tomorrow, you're going to spend time with family. But we're always reminded that for some people, that can be a difficult thing. You can feel overlooked in your own extended family. Maybe you can feel overlooked this holiday season because there's nobody obvious that you're going to spend time with, that you're going to feel alone at this time, overlooked and invisible. Recently, I was at this Christmas party that was happening, and I was feeling a little awkward. because a lot of things I go to, it seems like I have a role to play. I'm supposed to do this or that or lead this or that. And at this Christmas event, this Christmas party, I had no role, and I knew very few people in this place. And I walked in, and it felt like everyone was in a small little cluster, and they were talking to each other, and they were laughing, and they were having a great time. And my personality isn't really bold enough to walk in and say, "Hey, everyone, I'm here. How are you doing?" And just push my way into conversation. So I just stood near the entrance and looked around to see if I could enter any of these conversations. And for a few moments, I kind of felt invisible. You ever felt invisible? At Christmas, we are reminded first and foremost that God sees us. That if God saw these shepherds who were completely overlooked, then the good news of Christmas is that God sees you. God sees us. The scripture says that Christmas is good news for all people, especially those of us that can feel overlooked. I have a friend whose mother journeyed through dementia for many, many years. And she's told me about how agonizing that was to see her mom go through that. But she said one of the silver linings was that when I would walk into her room to visit her most days, she would look at me with delight and surprise, and she would say, "Oh, it's really you. You're here. Thank you for coming to see me." And my friend recognized this little gift in this very difficult time was the gift of being seen, both for her mom and for her too. That there was delight, that she wasn't overlooked, that she was seen. At Christmas, God says, "It's you. I see you." At the Museum of Modern Art in New York, they had this fascinating exhibit a few years ago. It was entitled, "The Artist is Present." HBO made a documentary about it. And in 90 days, some 850,000 people observed this exhibit done by Marina Abramović. And this was a very unusual exhibit because in this dark gray room, sat on a wooden chair, a woman in a red dress, and there was a table. And this exhibit was very simple, is people would come and sit in this chair, and the artist would look at them in the eyes. And this would go on for a number of minutes, just being fully present. There was no talking. This artist, Marina Abramović, just was giving the gift of her presence. And the story is told of how every day people would come, and in those first few moments of truly being seen, they would break down in tears. And Abramović noted that as people became quiet and still, she could sense the deep, lonely pain that many people carried, secretly carried. She said, "I gazed into the eyes of many people who were carrying so much pain inside that I could immediately see it and feel it. One big Hell's Angel with tattoos everywhere stared at me fiercely," she says, "but after 10 minutes, he was collapsing into tears and weeping like a baby." Christmas tells us that the artist is present, that the artist sees the overlooked people of our world. The great artist sees us. If God saw those shepherds that first Christmas, the good news is that God sees us. Have you felt overlooked or invisible? May today you come once again to the realization that at Christmas, God sees you. Well, if God does truly see the overlooked, and that God sees us, could Could it be that part of what we're called to do is to truly see others, to see the invisible, the ignored, and the overlooked in our world? A little audience participation here. Who would you say are some overlooked, invisible people in our world? Anyone want to just throw out some ideas? Okay, women with unplanned crisis pregnancies. Any other thoughts? Homeless. The homeless. Yeah, we could probably spend more time thinking about this. And just for a few moments this week as I was pondering on this, I thought of what seniors have told me. That as they've aged, they've often felt invisible, ignored. And as I was reading this week, I found this psychologist, Mary McClintock, who writes that for years in counseling older clients, they would describe the feeling of being invisible. And then she writes this, "And then it happened to me. I realize that when I walk down the street, younger people simply do not see me. Not a glance, not a smile, none of the customary friendly gestures we're used to seeing in my city. It was as if I actually disappeared from the sight of people much younger than I." And she goes on in this article to explore our culture's fascination with youth, youthfulness. That is a perceived, there's a perceived beauty there, and so all of the magazine covers feature typically younger people, because at some level, at some part of us, we long to identify with those young, beautiful people. The flip side, of course, is that seniors are often feel invisible in our world. Who might be people in the next few days that are overlooked? That are invisible, maybe people even in your own family. Jeremy mentioned the homeless. And when I'm at work, I'm walking down Broadway, for example, or going for a coffee, it's typical that I will meet someone who is asking for money. And I'm never quite sure what to do in that situation. And I've heard all sides of the arguments. You know, you can give them something, you can give them some money, you can buy them some food. And I haven't worked all that out. But what I try to do is to see them as people. Not to see them as problems, as a nuisance. Not to cross the street so that I don't have to face them. But to truly look people in the eyes, to say hi if it's appropriate, to treat them as a person, not as a problem. If Christmas is about God seeing us, how might we, during this season and all year round, offer the gift of truly seeing people, of seeing them as people? Well, one of the other thoughts that I had also was that the idea of those who are invisible is, I think about people in the two-thirds world. Because sometimes they're out of sight and out of mind. People who live overseas, who are living in developing countries, who we often forget about. And you know, right in our congregation here, we have a couple of wonderful ministries that helps us to remember these folks. One is the Ministry of International China Concern, which is founded by our own David Gotts. This is a ministry that finds children who have been abandoned, literally overlooked. Children with special needs who are invisible to so many, and yet we know that they are visible to God. How could it be that we are called this Christmas, this year, to be people who know we have been seen by God, and then in exchange, look and see the invisible, the overlooked people of our world? If Jesus came to an overlooked town, to an overlooked teenager, and saw her, and saw the shepherds, could it be that this Christmas, we are being invited to open our eyes in a new and fresh way and to see the invisible, the ignored, the overlooked people of our world. God sees the shepherds. He sees us. He sees the overlooked in our world and invites us to truly see them too. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray first for this congregation right here, the people who are seated, who are open to you in some way. God, I pray across this congregation for those of us who are feeling overlooked, invisible. God, I pray that we would see afresh your eyes for us. May it resound deep in our hearts that you see us, that we are not overlooked by you, that you see us just as we are. May that acknowledgement of your presence, may that change us. May that calm our hearts. And Lord, as we recognize that we've been seen by you, would you open our eyes to the people right around us, the people on our way to work, the people in our neighborhood, in our school, in our workplace, in our family, in extended family. Would you help us to see the overlooked, to truly see them? Thank you for your presence with us. May you help us to be truly present to others. We pray this in Christ's name.